The Christian Atheist is also available on YouTube, and you will find other great content, including the literature I frequently refer to, on our Simple Gifts podcast. If you find our content helpful, consider supporting us through PayPal at romanschapter5@comcast.net.
We are led to believe a lie when we see not through the eye. William Blake, in Auguries of Innocence. Welcome to The Christian Atheist, where faith and reason fuse in the Incarnation. Episode 57, The Evident, Evidence, and Faith, Part 1. We have been discussing faith in various ways for the last few weeks here at The Christian Atheist. Several weeks ago, we discussed the exciting new discovery of the Curse Tablet on Mount Ebal in Israel in relation to faith. Potentially, this discovery provides evidence that the biblical narrative is historically accurate in the face of theoretical skepticism, much as the archaeological discovery of the Hittite civilization, previously known only in the Bible, proved those scholars who thought it a biblical myth wrong. As David Down writes in The Hittites, A Civilization Lost and Found, quote, "This great nation not only disappeared from history, it was lost and forgotten so completely that historians of the 19th century even denied its existence." According to the biblical record, the Hittites were a well-recognized and an important and powerful nation. Yet, because no ancient historian mentioned them, and because they appeared to leave no archaeological footprint, critics of the Bible relegated them to the realm of myth. End quote. Until, of course, it was found. The Bible was right. The critics were wrong. Those hostile to theism, and to Christianity in particular, argue that confidence in the Bible today is a form of science denial. And thus, those silly science is real signs that pervade our neighborhoods. There is, however, nothing in science, other, of course, than selected practitioners, that argues against God, and much that rationally points to him. The Bible has held up surprisingly well in the light of scientific investigation. This claim, I suppose, is broadly acceptable to theists, but highly dubious to non-theists, which tells us more about human psychology than it does about truth. Having stood on both sides of this looking glass, my perspective, I think, may be helpful, as will, I hope, what we've learned about doublethink from George Orwell's 1984. We must begin where, in fact, we all begin, with the evident. The word is traceable through the Latin videre back to the Proto-Indo-European root vid, to see. A good contemporary and historically anchored definition is, quote, "plainly seen or perceived, manifest, obvious," end quote. We can argue, in fact, I would argue, that any consciousness, however basic we may paint that, shares with human beings a sense of the evident as presence, even when there is no self-consciousness. Plants, for instance, move toward the sun, manifesting awareness of, or presence to, light or warmth, etc. To see, then, is the human equivalent of to sense, as sight is our primary sensor. The evident is at this level neither knowledge nor belief. It is simply presence or sensation. Life reacts in quite complicated ways to the evident, from phototropism in plants to animal instinct. But rational response to the evident in human beings is complex at several orders of magnitude beyond these, as represented in the human experience of time and space. We must spend some time clarifying this complexity of the evident for rationality. We human beings share with all life the blurred spatio-temporality of a present, that is, presence too. But we also experience through rationality time and space in not present dimensions, past and future in time, and there, that is, not here, in space. For animals, the evident is only present, which means that what is experienced is the experience itself. Instinct, reflex, is reaction to the evident. When humans rationally confront the world, however, what is experienced differentiates through the mediation of present by past and future, and the mediation of spatial presence into differential location. For example, the sun in the sky, its warmth, the illumination it provides, is simple presence for animals. It is evident. As such, the evident is not composed of parts. It is an unfolding present, experience itself. For the human being, however, the evident differentiates through spatio-temporal rationality into discrete, separable units, including the experiencing subject, the I. The sun, its presence to us, mediated in relation to the sky through which it moves, movement is temporal relation between objects, becomes a discrete object, as does the sky through which it moves. Likewise, warmth and illumination are connected to the sun by spatio-temporal comparison to a sky without sun, by a lack of presence in the night. For animal consciousness, there is no sun, no day, no night, only the undifferentiated field of presence, of the evident. To rational experience, then, the evidence becomes the warm sun as light that travels across the sky during the day, while the moon is a lesser and colder light that travels across the sky at night. Our experience of the evident is, thus, rationally mediated. Rationality differentiates. What appears, what is present to consciousness, is already rationally mediated. The undifferentiated experience of non-rational presence becomes temporally and spatially discrete times, places, and things. What is evident has changed, altered, expanded. The evident, in one sense, has not changed at all, but in another sense, has altered completely, from unity to plurality. Even understanding non-rational experience as unitary is retrospective, possible only from the rational experience of plurality. Unity, that is, only becomes unitary in contrast to plurality. Plurality appears to consciousness. It is not constructed by it. Rationally, the evident is no longer simply itself. It becomes indexical, pointing outside experience, to grounds, to causes, to ideals. Rational self-consciousness is questioning consciousness. Objectively, it is the direct experience of the uncertain as evident. As such, rationality has an important dual aspect. On one side, rationality is an additional sense. By differentiating and objectifying, it fills the stage of our experience with dramatic personae. But in addition, it sees things that are not evident to merely animal sense. Plato makes this point explicitly. Rationality sees circles and triangles, for instance, and can investigate them, question them, discover things about them. Rational experience thus quantitatively and qualitatively expands the evident beyond immediate sense experience. It also sees objective value, truth, morality, mathematics, and logic. Rationality, however, is not just an additional sense, as it gives us, through the experience of the uncertain and the capacity to question, an entirely new quality of experience, corrigibility. Animal experience is incorrigible. A rabbit hearing a noise or seeing a shadow and reacting to it by running away is never wrong, as there is no indexicality, no pointing beyond the experience. The noise or the shadow are experienced as to be run away from, not as a threat. The evident and reaction are inextricably linked, inseparable, a single experience. By contrast, the concept of threat requires the rational differentiation and indexicality we have just discussed. A threat is something the noise points to. Rationality questions experience. Alternatively, we can say that rationality experiences the evident as uncertain, as open, subject to evaluation, to judgment. It is objective experience of uncertainty that frames the question, is this noise or shadow a threat? Rationality, in judging, can be wrong. Note, however, that neither the noise nor the shadow have changed. Rational experience points outside itself to an uncertain ground or cause which might or might not be threatening. Threat is a relation between differentiated elements of experience. We judge between possibles. But possibility is uncertainty, that which is evident as not present. It is this open space, opened by rationality, that allows for error. Corrigibility is finite rationality itself, and it is inextricably bound to value. Value is immediately evident to rationality. The world is given to rationality as valued. It is not that we value the sun and thus we differentiate it from the sky. Rather, the sun is differentiated because it is valued. Its value is its differentiation. The value and the differentiation are one and the same. And the value is neither created nor applied by rationality. It is apprehended. It is evident. For it is evident value that orients and differentiates. We see a sun differentiable from a sky because rationality differentiates experience by means of the evident, by means of value. Now, that rational experience is corrigible also means that rationality is free, not determined, in ordering and reordering value structures, in judging. That is, along with rationality and value comes choice. And with choice, the rest of human rational structures, including morality, truth, faith, knowledge, and imagination.
I am a Christian, with the searching and skeptical mind of an atheist. I don't want to believe anything that isn't true. I know both sides of the looking glass, and I know them with open eyes. I choose Christ's side. I invite you to join me from wherever you stand before the looking glass. That's this week's episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can have your religious cake and eat it too. You can have reason, respect for science, a 21st century worldview, and be a Christian.